downtown Manhattan, New York City, to the world. Tom Sullivan is on now.
Yep, here we are, and glad you could come along. Happy Tuesday to you on this December 5th, 2017. My name is Tom Sullivan, and once again, a big welcome back to our friends in KSRO in Santa Rosa, California, which wine country. Oh my gosh, my wife and I, when we lived in California, we'd go over to Sonoma, Napa, all the time. I even know how to pronounce Ronert Park. Ronert Park? Thought I would throw you for a second. So, no, I mean, that's my old backyard is in that part of the world. And I that's why earlier this year I was so devastated by watching the fires, and what stunned me was the fact that there were homes. I get it. You build a house in the woods, a cabin, a summer place up in the woods somewhere, and the woods catch on fire and your house burns. But I'll never forget seeing that first photo of, I mean, neighborhoods with sidewalks and driveways and houses and backyard swimming pools and all these houses completely burned to the ground. And sadly, we are back to that exact same scenario. I was just looking at some of the video from these fires that are raging in Southern California. And I thought, all right, okay, I get it. I know where the fires are. They're kind of strung along if you will, the Ventura to Los Angeles County, Santa Paula, over to Santa Clarita. I get the fact that there's a lot of hills and a lot of scrub, brush, and everything else. But once again, the videos are showing that there are enormous numbers of city blocks with houses and sidewalks and tricycles out in front and swimming pools and cars in the driveway, and they're burning. They're absolutely, this fire is doing exactly the same thing that happened up in Santa Rosa earlier this year. And when you get into the fall, the fire season in California, you get no rain essentially from April 1st until November 1st. You might get a rainfall one or two, but I'm not exaggerating. For those of you, I've told people that here in New York, and I said, no, you don't even see a cloud, and they look at me like I'm spoofing them. And I'm, no, that's why they call it sunny California. There are months of no rainfall. So by the time you get to the end of summer and all the dry grass and everything else is as tender as you can possibly imagine. And the problem, what happens in the fall, and it happened up in Santa Rosa, what was it, month and a half, 2 months ago, usually starts in October, and that's Northern California, and the winds start blowing. And the winds blow, and it's easy for a fire to start, whether it's a power line that comes down and sparks some dry grass, and away it goes, but the wind just whips it. And the same thing is happening in Southern California as we speak. This all started last night. First call came in around 6:30 last night, but overnight, the latest numbers I have, 45,000 acres have been burned, destroying homes and forcing 27,000 people to evacuate, 150 structures, including at least one large apartment complex, the Vista Del Mar Hospital, a psychiatric facility consumed by flames. And many, many, many more are being threatened. But here's the problem. The winds right now are blowing to beat the band, and as the afternoon goes on, it gets even worse. Let me just check. I looked at the winds earlier. I'm looking at Camarillo Airport. The winds are 23 miles per hour, gusting to 30. So it is, that's in Camarillo, but you go over to Van Nuys. Let me look at their 25-mile-per-hour winds gusting to 33. And it's smoky and blowing dust, and they got 1,000 firefighters battling the blaze. But one, I have wonderful memories of me and my family would spend, my brother-in-law lived in Los Angeles, and we would spend many times around Christmas with him. And I mean, shirt sleeve weather, because the Santa Anas would blow, it'd be warm, a little windy, but warm, 75 degrees, beautiful outside. But all it takes, they call it a red flag warning, all it takes is one spark, whether it's from a down power line or whether the kleptomaniacs come out this time of the year and do these sorts of things, but start a fire, because they know once they get it started, it's going to move very, very, very quickly. So they're, pray for the people of Southern California, because they are facing right now, first of all, huge evacuations. Highways all over the place are closed. Traffic in Los Angeles is a mess any time of the year, but right now this is even, seems to be more intense. So this was, looking for that story I saw somewhere where when they first got the call, it was just a few acres, and within moments, it was first reported, the Rye Canyon Loop, 9:55 a.m., which is another part of the fire, started at 9:55 a.m., first reported about 5 acres were on fire, and within minutes, it grew to 200 acres. So I don't know if this is, and if you look at the map of where all of this is, it's going from Ventura to Los Angeles County. It looks like it is going along an area that is near the Simi Valley Freeway, which you can't help but wonder, are there people out there setting fires? Here's the original blaze began in Santa Paula about 6:30 last night. That's the blaze that has burned 45,000 acres. Lots of highway, including Interstate 5, which is the main freeway on the West Coast. It goes from Canada to Mexico. That's closed as well because the fires are right there. I'm looking at a photo of a home in Ventura County, and I don't understand this. It's on it's in a neighborhood, and it's on a corner. No other houses are on fire, but this house on the corner is absolutely fully engulfed in flames. What they call the Thomas Fire. Governor Jerry Brown has declared a state of emergency in Ventura County because of this Thomas Fire. And these winds are not supposed to subside today, tomorrow, maybe Thursday they will subside. So, like I said, this is a very dangerous and rapidly spreading fire. And you got to pray for the people in Southern California. They are in dire straits. And for those of you that went through this up in Northern California, it's the same sort of thing. Homes in the middle of suburban neighborhoods are on fire. They're not up in the woods. They're not up, on the side of a mountain somewhere. So lots of fires down there, and these winds what can you do? The firemen cannot keep up with these high winds that are just blowing these flames, every minute or two, another football field. They can't run fast enough ahead of it. So they're dropping water. They got helicopters. They got all these things that are trying to get some sort of fire retardant in there. They're trying to deploy fixed-wing aircraft, but you get the smoke and the haze, and they can't see, they can't fly. Who says, LA Times says the wind appeared to be pushing the fire east towards Camarillo, north toward Ojai. It is a giant fire that is Santa Clarita, Sylmar, Ventura. These are neighborhoods, folks. These are not off in the middle of some Boonville somewhere. The Hawaiian Village Apartments collapsed at 4 a.m. as it was burning to the ground. So it's a devastating fire. The schools in Oxnard and Ventura and Hueneme and Santa Paula school districts all closed today. And, here we go, asking for FEMA to try and get in there. The fire is burning within the city of Ventura, says Ventura County Sheriff Sergeant Eric Bouchau. In the city of Ventura, homes and buildings actively burning at this time. I don't get this. I've seen wildfires most of my adult life when I lived in California. I always saw them. Yeah, if your house was on the fringe of a dry, brushy area, the flames came roaring along the brushy area and burned your house. No, these people are blocks and blocks and blocks away from anything like that. They're within the city limits. So, power is out in a lot of areas. When it started, 260,000 customers in Ventura and Santa Barbara counties lost power as the fire raged. They restored some of that, but a lot of the power is out as this the winds blow and the fire is moving along fast. So I don't know what you can do. I have no idea what you can do other than just, like I said, say prayers for these people. They're setting up shelters all over the place. Ventura County Fairgrounds. They've got, they're trying to protect homes in the cities, which is something that I just have never seen before. Not until Santa Rosa earlier this year. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. 855-295-6600. Phone numbers, my email address, the comment line phone number, which you can call and leave your comments if you don't want to go on the air. And we can play your comments on the air. My links to my Twitter, email, all that is at TomSullivan.com.
Opinions that matter. Radio that makes you think. Tom Sullivan.
So, California, I don't know where you live to avoid natural disasters. I don't know where that place is. I really don't. Hurricanes, tornadoes. California has earthquakes and fires. So, it's normally the best weather that you could possibly ask for. But not this time of the year. The winds blow and fires start. And very hard to control. Phone number is 855-295-6600. Tom, thanks for waiting. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Hi there, Tom.
Hi.
Hey. Hi there. Hey, I do design drafting, and I'm going to go pick up a couple plans for Santa Rosa today and start to work on those.
Yeah.
But we build houses not to burn from the inside, not from the outside. You want to prevent them to burn from the outside, you got to make them concrete, steel, and cover them with dirt.
Huh.
There ain't no way to keep them from burning.
Yeah.
Unless you got a fire suppression system that surrounds your house with a gasoline engine that's going to pump water when there's power outage, just like aircraft. I used to work aircraft for 20 years. And the deluge system was powered by a diesel engine in a building that they tested every Monday.
Yeah, I've seen that. And once in a while, they mess up and they actually fire the system. I remember a couple of years ago over at JFK, they pulled the handle the wrong way, and JetBlue's maintenance terminal was completely white. All the planes, everything. Yes.
Yeah, this was water, the deluge system. There's probably 8-inch diameter pipes. They said if that thing goes off, you better run out of the building or you will suffocate.
Yeah. So because it comes to, but you make a very interesting point. So you design homes to burn to not burn from the inside. But the, yes, the thing
what,
about this, the thing about this though is that if you're working on the rebuilding of homes in Santa Rosa, you're not up in the woods somewhere. You're down in the middle of the city. You're down in the suburbs of with, like I said, neighborhoods with sidewalks and. I've never seen this before. Never seen it before until this year. And they've got it going on again right now.
Yeah. Concrete houses are ugly. Ugly, ugly. Wood houses, they're beautiful. They're easy to build. You can take your time. You know, concrete is like all at once. And you gotta spray all that concrete and make these dome-looking things that look like space age. They look like mushrooms. But they won't burn. They're bug-proof, fireproof, lightning-proof, everything-proof. You know, now if you get caught inside of one while it's burning, you're going to be like a turkey in an oven, you know. But nothing outside burn. You know, your house would be okay. Everything wood inside will spontaneously combust, but your house will be left intact if you do that. But nobody
Tell me something. The Santa Rosa fires, I don't remember the exact day, but it had to be October, because October is always when we get those kinds of fires. And so where are they? Are they still cleaning up, or are you starting to rebuild over there?
I'm getting plans that I'm bidding on right now with old plans, and they want them pretty much built like that, and it's going to be built out of wood again.
Yeah.
Be built out of concrete.
Right. Of course. But my point is, I think a lot of people forget, and I see where Melania Trump and Pence's wife are heading to Texas today, because they're going down there to try and help with the reconstruction efforts in Houston from the floods. We see these stories in the news. And then we move on. The fire stops, the flood stops, the hurricane stops, whatever it might be. We move on. But I'm going, I presume they're still cleaning up. They're not even close to getting around to building homes yet.
No, but in Santa Rosa, there's nothing left. You just scrape off the foundation and start over.
Yeah.
There's nothing. There's no water damage. There's no damage. It's just like,
you just
start over. So somebody said, we want the same footprint, but we want to rearrange the inside walls and make it different.
Right. Bigger kitchen or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm doing like the as-built, but then we're going to remodel it as the same process. And they may, some houses they may want to add on to.
Well,
to figure out, you know.
I think your call points out the fact that there are still people out there that are, they're still not in their homes. They got run out of their home in the middle of the night, and here we are coming up on Christmas, and they still don't have their home back. I got to take the break, but Tom, thank you. Good luck to you over there in Santa Rosa.
Time, all the time, with Tom Sullivan.
That's us. Thanks for coming by. Happy Tuesday to you on this fifth day of December. So we're looking at the news that John Conyers, shock. John Conyers resigned today. Oh, no, Tom. He retired today. Oh, that's right. All of a sudden, his retirement was, I'm retiring today. So this wasn't a matter of if, it was a matter of when. Listen, he made the announcement, supposedly calling from his hospital bed to a radio show in Detroit, and this is what he had to say.
Yes, I thank you for helping me get this into focus. I am retiring today, and I want everyone to know how much I appreciate the support, the incredible, undiminished support I've received across the years from my supporters, not only in my district, but across the country as well.
Yeah. Well, there's no question in his district. John Conyers has been elected over and over every 2 years since Lyndon Johnson was the president of the United States. So now we get into, because we're into this moral relativism where, well, we are not going to let Roy Moore get in. I'll tell you, he's Republicans don't want the Republican brand tainted or stained by this guy. I'll tell you what. And then it went from, okay, actually Roy Moore's okay because you've got John Conyers and, you also got Al Franken. So we're now for Roy Moore. And you guys are defending Al Franken and John Conyers. So now we go, all right, the score, it's just like following a football game. All right, so the Republicans scored, but then there was a flag on the play, and they got that taken back. They said, okay, we're now going to support Roy Moore, and the Republican National Committee is now going to send him money for his campaign. The election is 1 week from today. So next Tuesday, we'll find out what the story is in Alabama. But now we've got, okay, we're good with him because we need his vote for the tax deal, which I got to tell you, that's a bunch of bogus, and I'll tell you why it's bogus in a minute. But now Conyers was standing there going, I'm not resigning, not till the cows come home. That's what his lawyer said on Friday. Well, apparently a few cows showed up. Because he has now, and by the way, they've had a few more people come forward, and so now they're saying, all right, Nancy Pelosi had to do a backtrack because she was trying to defend him. I mean, the guy has an illustrious career. He started the Congressional Black Caucus. He was involved in many of the civil rights legislation. He's done a lot of things, including helping, you know, laws to protect women, but that didn't change his personal behavior. So that, it was hard to hear, but he was on Mildred Gaddis's radio show in Detroit and says, look it, it's, I'm going to retire as of today. So now the question, this is where I get into what happens next and why this tax vote that is bogus when it comes to Roy Moore. Because Roy Moore, if he gets elected next Tuesday, I know I'm bouncing around here from Roy Moore to John Conyers, but Roy Moore, if he gets elected next Tuesday and he's ahead in the polls, but I told you there's going to be a lot of last-minute dirt. I mean, if you think it's dirty already, just wait. It'll get even dirtier this next 7 days. So what happens is if he gets elected next Tuesday, that is the 12th, it normally takes 15, 20 days for somebody from the date of the election till the date that they're actually raising their right hand and being sworn in to the United States Senate. So that will put it past the date that they're going to vote on the tax bill in the Senate. Mitch McConnell said that he should have this done no later than December 23rd. This week, they're working on a compromise between the Senate and the House version of the tax bill. Then they have to bring it back next week for the Senate and the House to fully on their floors vote for the new revised one that went through a conference committee. And then it's got to go over to the president's desk, and apparently McConnell has this all penciled out to be December 23rd. Well, Roy Moore is not going to be a United States senator on December 23rd. He's not going to be. It's not going to happen that fast. So Luther Strange is going to be the guy that votes, who is the current appointed senator from Alabama. So that whole tax thing is it's not going to change. John Conyers, his retirement isn't going to change a thing either, even though it will leave the district in Detroit that Conyers has represented since the 1960s, it will leave it without a representative. But it is a deep, deep, deep Democrat blue district, and some Democrat is going to be elected to take John Conyers' seat. So it really won't make any difference other than it will leave one vacancy in the House because the governor of Michigan, who is a Republican, he doesn't get to appoint somebody. He's required to call a special election to select someone to fill out the remainder of Conyers' term, which is for another year plus. It's January of 2019. So the governor can schedule that election whenever he wishes, though it usually is on the date of the next regularly scheduled event, which is, according to Detroit News, is May 7th of 2018. And then you got to have a primary, you got to do all this other stuff. So there's not going to be anybody in there until after May. And then a general election to fill out his term will be on August 7th, the next regular election schedule. So it won't be till August where they find out who's going to be taking John Conyers' seat. Now, this gets into a family squabble because the John Conyers said, I want my son, John Conyers III, he's never held elective office. He's also had some problems. He's 27 years of age. He had to, Congressman Conyers had to reimburse the Treasury $5,000 for his son's misuse of a taxpayer-funded Cadillac. There's other problems that he's been involved with as well. So he wants his son, John Conyers III, who's 27. Somebody sent me an email earlier saying, does that mean that John Conyers was having children in his 60s? I think so, because he's 88 now. The problem is there's a nephew, a grandnephew, that says, I'm running for my granduncle's seat. And there's two Conyers that are going to be fighting with each other over John Conyers' seat whenever it comes around. Here's Mike Huckabee saying, wait a minute. This isn't something you pass down from generation to generation.
My gosh. I mean, what is this, a political kingdom where you just pass the offices down to the next of kin? Why don't we have honest elections? You know, if family members want to run for office, fine, go do it. But this idea that it's going to be passed on, we've got a lot of families who think that it becomes their heirloom, like a piece of jewelry, to hand an office down to the next generation. I find that troubling in a country that's not supposed to operate like that.
All right. 855-295-6600 is the phone number. Short break. We will be right back.
Unpredictable. Unprecedented. Undeniable. Tom Sullivan.
All right, so this means, doing a very short Dirty Old Man segment today, what does this mean now? Because now the Democrats can take the moral high ground and say, our guy resigned. I don't know about Al Franken. Our guy retired. So we did the right thing, and the morals and standards of the Democratic Party is much, much better than those evil Republicans who are just trying to get somebody elected who's questionable. And oh, that's the other part about going back to Roy Moore. Saw it this morning. 71% of the people of Alabama, 71, trying to get 71% of anybody to agree on anything, 71% of the people of Alabama do not believe the women. Even though there's four direct and four indirect, nope, they're not telling the truth. This is a political smear job, and our guy never did what those women are saying. If that poll is right, that 71% of the people of Alabama do not believe the women, and it's a red state, and Roy Moore's been around that state for a long time. A lot of people know him. He's a high name ID, which is a lot when it comes to getting elected. I'm telling you, I think the guy's going to walk away with it next week. I really do. And then you get into, this is where the moral relevance comes in. Well, are you going to throw him out once he becomes a senator? And the answer is that's what Mitch McConnell was going to do, but yesterday he came out and said, well, we're going to respect the wishes of the people of Alabama. They're the ones who are going to have to decide all this. Yeah, but when he gets to the Senate, are you going to seat him or are you going to try and get him thrown out? I have to tell you, my feelings about Roy Moore aside, I think it's wrong for Mitch McConnell or anybody else to dismiss the voters' wishes, and if they want him to be their senator, then he's going to be their senator. And I don't think they should throw him out. Let him be there. Let him be let the light shine upon him. All whatever he says or does, he's going to get a lot of attention. But the other reason behind it is they're going to say, well, why should we throw him out while you've still got Al Franken? So the Democrats, yeah, they got Conyers out, but not Al Franken. Not yet. And I don't know if Al Franken is going to somehow see the light where somebody says to him, wait a minute, you've got to leave. So it's a different situation in Minnesota. They've got a Democrat as the governor. They can but there's a possibility a Republican could win in Minnesota. Norm Coleman, if it wasn't for some real questionable voting at in the race between Al Franken and Norm Coleman, Coleman would have been reelected. So they're not anti-Republican. It's kind of a purple state. But I'm telling you, the Republicans are going to use the moral equivalency. And they're going to say, we are not going to get rid of Roy Moore as long as Franken is there. So I don't know if Nancy Pelosi and everybody else is working behind the scenes to try and get him out. Because if they do, then the pressure would be on the Republicans to get rid of Roy Moore, even if he does get elected. So the dirty old man list is getting longer and longer. The longtime famous conductor of the New York Metropolitan Opera, James Levine, he has been accused of sexual misconduct. A fourth man came forward yesterday saying that Levine had sexually abused him decades ago when the man was a student. Met officials are scrambling to deal with now a cascade of accusations that are coming in. A lot of donors to the Metropolitan Opera are sending emails saying that they will be taking all appropriate actions, even as the Opera House comes under sharp criticism for not investigating. They want this to be dealt with. And a number of festivals that deal with that do joint efforts with the Met have severed all ties with Mr. Levine. So this is, it's quick, it's brutal, and they're going right after him with everything they got. The accusations go back to 1968. When this man the first guy who came forward was 20 years old and attending the Meadowbrook School of Music. It was a summer program in Michigan, and Levine was a rising star on the faculty. Said that the abuse continued for several years after he joined a tight-knit clique of young musicians who followed Mr. Levine in Cleveland and later in New York. So the guy that accused him of that went on to have a long career as a violinist in the New Jersey Symphony Orchestra. So that one is growing to be more of a problem. Then, adding to the list, you've also got the New York City Ballet and Peter Martins, who is the longtime leader of the New York City Ballet, has been removed from teaching his weekly class at the School of American Ballet while the two organizations jointly investigate accusations of sexual harassment. Mr. Martins is 71. The accusation was made in an anonymous letter. It's the only one they've received. He has led the New York City Ballet since the 1980s. But because he's a teacher and they're worried about their students, they say they're suspending him, removing him from his duties until they finish his investigation. So this is, yeah, and this is also reminds me of Garrison Keillor, who was dismissed by Minnesota Public Radio. Hello, Minnesota. And the accusation against Garrison Keillor was, one, there's no cascade. There's not a bunch of other people coming forward. Garrison Keillor said that one of the women that worked, I believe, on the show, the Prairie Home Companion, that one of the women had something happen, and he reached over to console her and put his hand on her back. But it was her bare back. And she recoiled and looked at him with shock, and he said, oh, I'm sorry. And she said, oh, you're forgiven. Now she writes a letter, one letter, Garrison Keillor, from a woman who said he put his hand on her bare back. He's fired. So the levels and accusations here, all over the map. In Alabama, 71%. Stories against Roy Moore are not true.